If you've got 15 minutes or so now, why don't we just do this?
Okay.
And then possibly out of this, we could get something which I could write up, or you could write up or something, but at least we'd have a start.
There may be some dates and some details that I have to look up elsewhere, but we can find out what they are.
Yeah.
I'll make a note of it as we go along here.
Right. Right.
And just a minute, so I get a pencil and something to write on. And get myself a little more comfortably seated here. Just a minute, please.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get your name.
Yes, I'm Bill Jordan.
Bill Jordan.
Yeah. I've been here at the Arboretum since 1977.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things we're thinking of doing is having a CCC reunion.
Oh, you are?
In connection with this. Yeah, we may or may not, but it's an idea that we're kicking around.
I see. I know that quite a number of them are no longer living.
I'm sure that's true, but quite a few of them are.
Strange enough, that's had a very high death rate among that group.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, they were in the war, I suppose.
Well, it was before the war, and the...
Afterwards, I mean.
Death rate has been afterwards. It wasn't actually war connected.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I don't know what it was connected with, but...
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell me how you came here, how you got involved, what you were doing?
Okay. You have the early history, of course.
Well, I know the general outlines. I'd like to hear it from your point of view.
Yeah.
When did you come?
I had done my... doctorate work at the University of Illinois under H.G. Vestal.
Who was that?
V-E-S-T-A-L.
V-E-S?
V-E-S-T-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur G. Vestal,
mm-hmm.
who was an ecologist at the university. And I come from Indiana over to Illinois, and I got into the prairie work.
Yeah.
And I was actually introduced to prairie. And in the meantime, I've got his name right this minute, out in Nebraska, Kansas, Nebraska.
Sears?
Had been doing some work on the root system of prairie plants.
Oh, yeah.
And Vestal knew about the work and introduced me to it, and suggested that I might work on the roots of prairie plants in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I chose for my doctorate dissertation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the work which is written up. I don't know if you have a reprint of that paper or not, but I can send you one if you want it.
I'd like to have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me say reprint.
Now, that would have been some of the early ecological work on prairies, isn't that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. I was following Weaver and Clements. That's who it was.
Yeah, Weaver and Clements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I talked with Clements a few times, and I knew Weaver. I'd met him quite a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just followed more or less their line and wrote up that prairie paper, which is published in Ecology. Ecology. And Bill Longenecker and Helda Leopold ran across the paper. And one of the things they wanted to do there at the Arboretum is to establish the prairie area.
Yes.
And so they rode around to see where I was, and I had already gone to southern Illinois at the Shawnee National Forest and was working for the Forest Service at the time. And they wrote me and asked me if I'd be interested in working on prairie plants. They could give me the supervisory job of that particular part of it under the Park Service.
When was this then?
Hmm?
When would this have been?
That was 1935.
Mm-hmm.
1934, I got my doctorate degree.
Yes.
I beg your pardon, 1933, I got my doctorate degree. Mm-hmm. And it was 34 and early 35 that I was there at the Shawnee National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made application. I was with the Forest Service in connection with the CCC camps there. And when they began checking it out, I said, hey, there's a regulation that you can't, as one service, can't steal personnel from another service. In other words, Park Service couldn't get the personnel from the Forest Service.
Yeah.
They had to go to Washington, D.C. and go through the departments of agriculture and interior in order to get a permit for me to move from the Forest Service to Park Service.
Yeah.
But Leopold had a good deal of clout in those days, and he and one or two others there at Madison had made a good case for themselves. And so they did get me transferred from the Forest Service to Park Service, and so I moved from Harrisburg, Illinois, with the Forest Service up to Madison with the Park Service in February, I think, of 1935.
Yeah.
And they got me in there primarily so as to supervise the prairie planning and prairie development of the Arboretum.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got there, the temperature's just 20 below. 20 below zero.
You came to the camp here?
Yeah, at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 2.5 feet of snow. And that didn't warm up until for about 2 weeks above zero.
Is that right?
We were really snowed in. That's about the worst winter they've had there.
Well, what were you doing here in the winter during, you know? You couldn't be restoring prairie.
Well, as a matter of fact, prairie was not the only thing they were interested in, of course, since establishing forest as well.
Oh, did you work on that too?
Yes.
Oh.
And I worked with Longner, Friend Elfner, and others connection with the forest planning as well. In other words, I was general plant ecology.
I see.
Plant ecology is my field.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, I scouted around the area to find where the prairie was, and I would need to get acquainted with the Arboretum first to see what the lineup was, and where the prairie would be, and what type of development we'd have on it. So that was being done during the earlier part of the year.
Well, now who managed this? Was there someone over you as an ecologist?
Longnecker of landscape architecture.
Yeah.
And Ella Leopold of game management.
Mm-hmm.
They were the two principal scientists in connection with the Arboretum development.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working more directly under Ella Leopold than anybody else.
Yeah. Tell me about your relationship with him.
Oh, it was very, very favorable. He was the professor of wildlife management. I got to know him fairly well, and he sort of let me develop the prairie according to my own ideas. And they made some suggestions. They knew where the prairies were in that vicinity, and they suggested going out to doing both prairie seeds and prairie transplants. And that's the type of thing, that the way we started out there.
What was the condition of the prairie project when you arrived?
Full cornfield. The corn stalks were still out there in the field at the time.
Is that right?
Yeah. It had been cropped the year before, and then had lain fallow for a year.
What was your feeling about the whole project at that time?
Oh, I was enthusiastic about it. I was quite interested in prairie development.
Were you familiar with...
It was evident that there wasn't much of any of it left in Illinois. I went all over Illinois trying to find some prairie.
Is that right?
I just find little patches here and there. Nothing to speak of. Nothing like prairies that we have now in 1980, 81.
Yeah.
They were far scarcer then than they are now.
Were you familiar with prairie restoration techniques?
No, I had to develop that myself. There wasn't anything being done in prairie restoration that I knew about. And as a matter of fact, as far as I know, I was one of the first ones that did any prairie restoration work.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know of any place that had been done prior to that.
What was, where was this idea coming from? I mean, whose idea was that, do you think?
I suspect Aldo Leopold is probably more influential than any other one individual on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He may have known some others there that had something to do with it, but not as far as I know. Well, there was Fassett. Forgotten his first name.
Norman.
Norman Fassett, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was also interested. And I got to go fairly well acquainted with Fassett. He was very much interested in that, too.
Yeah. Well, tell me how you proceeded then. When spring came and...
The only thing we could do was to get a small crew, and we'd go out in what little bits of prairie we could find here and there. You see, there's more of it in Sauk County than there was there in Dane County.
Mm-hmm.
And especially along the Wisconsin River, bits of it.
Yes.
And so we collected prairie seed, and somebody got permission to dig up some prairie sod. We took truckload up there with a dozen boys, and loaded up a truck with sod, brought it back and dug holes and planted them.
How did you find these prairie remnants?
Well, here again, Leopold and Pass had been up there before I had, and they knew about where they'd found them. And so I just took their word for it.
Did you make an attempt to locate prairies that were threatened with destruction, or?
No, not specifically. As a matter of fact, any prairie that remained was threatened with destruction in those days.
Yes.
There wasn't any such thing as prairie conservation. That was unknown.
Yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't any.
What was the attitude of the crew toward this activity?
Oh, a dollar a day.
Yeah.
They were just working.
Yeah.
They just do whatever somebody told them to do, and if it made any sense, so much better if it didn't. Why, that's the standard government procedure.
I see. Yeah.
CCC, I don't think there's a single boy there that really developed any scientific interest in.
Is that right?
Yeah. Most of them didn't even have a high school education, as far as I can tell.
Well, were
so
you working?
Make a difference.
Yeah. Were you working closely with the crews in the field then?
With the crew?
Yeah.
They worked directly under me.
In the field?
As a technical foreman, geologist. And the boys were just supposed to do what the technical foreman said they were to do.
Yeah.
And most of them are not very efficient. A few of them worked hard, but that would be true regardless of what they were assigned to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me all you can about how you approach the problem of deciding how to deal with the problem that you, the task that
primarily it was to get what I could and put it in where I could, as I could, and spend on what I found available. If I found sods, I dug up sods. If not, I collected seeds, made some little seed spots in there.
Mm-hmm.
We had quite a bit of old cornfield, which quackgrass had pretty well taken over.
In the prairie, you mean?
Yeah.
Describe the site to me at the time, the Curtis Prairie site.
Strictly second growth old field.
And
is not quite flat, it's slightly rolling.
Mm-hmm.
You see the south area, south of that highway, I've forgotten the name.
The Grady.
U.S. Yeah, hadn't been acquired yet.
You're right.
That was all outside the area.
Right.
And so we worked south of that U.S. 18 highway.
Yeah.
There. And the idea is to get that covered as quickly as possible, so I scattered out my plantings over there. The spots were 2 or 3 feet apart.
Well, now, it wasn't partly a plowed field, partly pasture?
It had been plowed in previous years.
Yeah.
But we mitigated against any additional plowing.
Mm-hmm.
Plowing was considered, at least at that time, be unsuitable for prairie establishment,
mm-hmm.
because the plowing just encouraged the weeds, and what we wanted to get as few weeds as we could.
Yes.
And so we tried to do as much as we could without plowing as such. Of course, nowadays we know better that prairie can be established on plowed field quite well.
Yes.
But we didn't know that then.
Yeah.
And my friend Ivan Boyd was working Iowa at that time. I was working a little bit on the establishment of prairie plants by seeding on plowed fields. He was working with the Soil Conservation Service then.
Yes. Right at that time?
Yeah.
So this work was going on where?
Boyd's work was going on with the Soil Conservation Service in Iowa.
I see. To what extent would you say that the work that you were doing here then was really pioneer work in prairie restoration?
Yeah, the Soil Conservation Service and our particular branch, ecological branch, the Park Service, were working parallel there. They see that was still brand new as far as the Soil Conservation Service turned in.
Do you think
this is just immediately after the Dust Bowl, and the Soil Conservation Service was trying to get anything that they could grow that would be resistant to drought.
Yes.
That's the reason they were looking at prairie plants.
As a result of the Dust Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We sometimes say we have the world's oldest restored prairie here. Would you go along with that?
You mean there on the arboretum?
Yeah.
That's probably right. As far as I know, it is.
Yeah. But tell me, since you brought this up, give me the names of any other people you know who were working on prairie restoration at that time.
Well, at that time?
Yeah.
I don't know of any others. And I will say that we were in Klamath. We're working on the preservation of such prairie spots as they could find them from Maine.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, they were not actually trying to reestablish any from other areas.
Okay, who was this person you just mentioned?
You mean Ivan Boyd? Oh,
yeah. What was his name?
I-V-A-N.
And his last name?
B-O-Y-D.
Where was he?
Gosh, I don't know. He was up in Iowa someplace, and I don't remember where it was.
And
the Soil Conservation Service was doing the work.
This was at that...
He's now at Bethany. Baker University in Baker, Kansas.
Oh, he's still there.
Yeah, he's retired now.
I see.
But he's still there. I got acquainted with him at that time.
I see.
And been a friend of him ever since.
Yeah.
And he might have a little information on prairie restoration.
I'll get in touch with him.
Yeah, just Ivan Boyd, Baker University at Baker, Kansas.
Yes.
Which is about 10 miles south of Lawrence.
Yeah.
And he has a little prairie area up there at Baker at the present time.
Interesting. Is there anyone else that I should know about like that?
You have the Weaver and Klamath.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm talking about restoration specifically.
Yeah.
Restoration,
I don't know of anybody.
Tell
I
me.
I would say there isn't somebody else, there might have been.
Yeah.
But none that have come to my attention. I've tried to keep up to the literature on it.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your familiarity with these plants. Were you troubled by problems of reproducing them, of propagating them?
Oh, yes. Some of the transplants I made were quite successful. There are plants are still growing there. I put in dozens that never did grow, never came up or didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I have back in my records probably a pretty good record of just what worked and what didn't work at that time.
Do we have those records?
Or? No, you don't have all those. You have the area where the plantings were made, or should have, back in the records.
Uh-huh.
But the success rate on that, as far as I know, has never been tabulated. That the original data, planning data, I still have buried down my files, which I've been hoping to get out and get into presentation work and such.
I wonder if that's something that eventually should wind up in the university's archives.
It should. You're right. And I would like to organize the material and turn it over to them.
That I could handle that for you if
you.
Pick this up a little bit more. Tell me in as much detail as you feel like the techniques that you use for preparing the ground. I have photographs here of the CCC crews kind of digging up the ground with spades, for example.
Spades and mattocks.
What was the approach? You'd come in here with truckloads of, say, sods?
Yeah, and then we just get a long handle shovel,
mm-hmm.
dig a hole for it, get out the worst of the crackgrass rhizomes, and put the grass right in there.
How did you handle seeds?
Seeds?
Mm-hmm.
Just getting out the crackgrass, pulling out the rhizomes again, and loosening up the soil, and more or less pulverize, and kind of seed quarter of an inch below the surface.
What time of the year?
I should say 1 centimeter below the surface, shouldn't I?
Rake them in?
Yeah, rake them in or put them in with our fingers.
Mm-hmm. What time of year are you planting seeds?
When the ground warmed up, dried out enough so you could handle it,
mm-hmm.
which would be around 1st of April, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. May.
I clear up until November.
Oh, all through the planting season?
Yeah. Had a crew of all the way from 5 to 25 boys working on it. Of course, the other members of the crew were working elsewhere on the LBU.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a really small strike. And we just kept out all year long.
Not all year? And
then during the winter, of course, we go out and check the seeds before we planted.
I see.
Apparently. We didn't have any sophisticated preparation gadgets to have nowadays. We did nearly all of it by hand.
You said the crew with which you were working on the prairie was probably a couple of dozen, 25 people?
Sometimes that many, but more often it'd be 5 or 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were guessing what to do as you went along.
I sure was. There wasn't any other way of doing it as far as I knew.
Well, then as a couple of years went by, how was it working out?
This was done in 35, and you may recall 36 was another dry year.
Mm.
33 and 34 were extremely dry. And then 35, as I recall, we actually had a little rain for a change. And 36 turned out dry again.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent weeks carrying water from the lake to pour on some of the things, to try to keep them alive.
From Lake Wingra?
Yeah.
Oh, with a truck?
Yeah, this had a flatbed truck and three, four, five barrels on it.
Huh.
And loaded up the barrels and filled it up with fields.
Yeah.
About all we had is manpower and minimal equipment. That was about it.
Yeah. And you were getting weed problems?
We expected that. As a matter of fact, we had some trouble, especially the first couple of years of the crack grass growing into the spot. But if the plants were resistant at all, they survived in spite of the crack grass.
Uh-huh.
After that, the ragweed really did bother us.
I see.
We got a bit of ragweed, but it didn't have long enough life to really be big pest. And I don't recall that other weeds are particularly bad.
How did you map out your work? Did you start at one end and work to the other, or?
Yes, I don't know if there's any specific arrangement, but I did start on the, I know why. Up to, on the west end, toward, what do they call it, Wingra Woods?
Yeah, Neuwood.
Neuwood. They're at the west end of the area.
Yeah.
And I started up there and then worked down eastward.
Yes.
Into the lower area. And I started up there because it dried out first.
Oh, I see.
It's warmer and a little drier, and I could handle that soil before I could handle the lower soil.
Well, how did the schedule go? How did you go so far each year? Could you tell me?
Yes. In fact, I can almost tell that from the maps that I drew.
Uh-huh.
Sitting from the, because I had the planning areas numbered and staked out, and I still have those maps. So I could tell roughly how much I did per year, I think.
So you just went in yearly increments, then you'd pick up the following year where you left off?
Yeah, to some extent, but as soon as I got some plants, bluegrass, and things that sort of belonged in the wet area, then I started over on the other side. And so I had one area starting from the west end, and then I had one from the south side, or a little higher, and then worked down in the lower area.
Okay, so you're actually working outward from three points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you eventually planted over the whole 60-acre area?
Well, I left actually before the entire area was finished.
When did you leave?
I left in 1941, when I got a summons from Uncle Sam.
Well, that's when the CCC camp closed down, too.
Right.
Do you know anything about the burning experiments?
The burning experiments, we were just working with mapping that out when I left. And most of that was done after.
I see.
I heard about it.
Well, whose idea was that?
I suppose John Curtis is the principal man behind that. He had just come into the university a year or so before. I don't remember if it was when he did arrive.
Yes.
But he took over on the management when I had to leave.
Oh, he took over when you left?
As I recall, I'm not sure, but that's my recollection.
But you were here as they were, you were helping set up the burning experiments?
We were planning out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As is evident, and in fact, I think we did one or two little strip burnings before I left.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, what was your attitude and other people's attitude toward those experiments at that time?
My attitude was good, but I'm afraid not everybody agreed.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was still in the days when the Forest Service was putting in big black letters, prevent forest fire.
Yeah.
And burning was just not permitted for wildlife maintenance. And we were just getting the idea then that fires weren't necessarily harmful. And so the burning started out rather sketchily in small areas to start with. And almost from that time on, with the Forest Service and the Park Service, especially the Forest Service, advocated more and more burning as a management tool. And those of us who are in the lead were recommending that burning.
Excuse me, just a minute, please. There's other lines ringing here. Okay, I'm back. Was this thing quite a novel thing then?
As far as I know, it was. There wasn't much of anybody but the few scientific investigators who were recommending the burning then.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to sell the Park Service, the Forest Service, and everybody else on the idea.
Yeah.
And that had been observed before. As a matter of fact, Vestal was mentioned to us before I ever left Illinois.
Who was that?
A.D. Vestal.
Oh, Vestal, yeah.
That suggested the burning was actually beneficial to the prairie.
Well, how did he know that?
Obviously. Because he observed that the prairie seems to be better when it's burning regularly.
Okay.
On the Illinois area.
Now then, to what extent was Curtis's experiment here new then?
Try that again. I'm
To what extent was were the burning experiments something new in management?
I don't think that the burning had been very well accepted, and I think Curtis may have heard about it someplace or other and run by it himself there.
Mm-hmm.
The first year gave remarkably good results in certain species. I remember lice came through much better following the burning.
Mm-hmm.
And the tall grass, the turkey foot and the Indian grass,
yes,
seemed to do better after the burning.
So you people felt at the time that this was a novelty to try this.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
And from then on, I became increasingly, kept hearing more and more about the burning results.
Oh, you mean after you left here?
Yeah. All over the United States. Stan Keen, I remember, got in on it. He wrote quite a nice report, which includes burning as a management tool. You know Stan Keen?
No, where was he?
Right after that, he was the Assistant Secretary of the Interior.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Was he connected with us here in some way?
No. Although I'd gotten my first ecology understanding team, he was still at Butler University in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
I'd put my undergraduate work there, and Keane was on the staff at the time. He didn't even have a doctorate.
So, do you have the impression that Curtis's, that those burning experiments here were seminal?
I imagine they were.
Yeah.
I don't have the entire history of those. Somebody working on the history of the college, you might have some further information on it. But as far as I know, it's fairly original.
Now, let me turn this tape over here, and I've got a couple more questions. Just let me turn over here.
I want to ask you, tell me a little bit about the work you did in other plant communities. You mentioned the forest, for example.
Bill Elkman, who is another one of the foremen, two foremen there, was connected to Mansfield today, and Howard Hunt was another one.
Hunt?
H-E-double-N.
Mm-hmm.
And Hunt and Elkman were both worked rather closely with Longenecker on establishing forest planning.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were involved in primary transplanting spots, the pines, and to some extent the other wave trees,
mm-hmm,
in the forest area. And during the worst of the winter weather, when it couldn't be in the prairie, I'd go and help them out on some of the tree pines.
You mean they were planting in the middle of the winter?
Yeah, planted all winter long. Put the wave snow and put them in the ground and 2 feet of snow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, you're talking, what areas are you talking about exactly?
The Pine area up next to Miller Woods and all along the US-18
highway.
What do we call that
highway? That's Highway 18, it's the Beltline. Well, it's Highway 18 and 14 and 12 and...
I
don't know.
They were planning up along that road there on the north side of it.
Sure, well, that's the Leopold Pines now.
The Leopold Pines, okay. They were planning them up.
I was planning them up. You were working there as an ecologist for that then?
That's right.
When you were planning...
I was an ecologist for the idea, which includes many of the types of plants that are up there.
Now...
Especially with the prairies, and helping them have the...
How did you plan your planting, say, on the prairie, even, where you had to decide what species to get, how...
I didn't want the agar with a single species. And so I put in patches of eastern and patches of lettuces, and patches of chicken, and patches of whatever else seed I had.
What were you using as information? Was your objective to try to recreate a natural-like prairie?
I hope that eventually it would be. We were just trying to get the plants established at that time, and assuming that once they got established, they'd spread themselves and would eventually form a natural mixture.
Yes.
But we just wanted to get them in there and growing.
How did you establish goals for abundance and distribution and things like that?
We didn't have any goals or any goals.
And
sometimes I end up about more than a dozen spots in some species. Fell off and tells me that's all the seed I have.
Uh-huh.
And then I put in 50,000 spots of salt by the river and 2,000 of underfoot and dried eye and so forth.
What kind of quantities of plants were you working with generally? I've heard that you brought in tons of
Yes, on the sod transplant. Well, I suppose we brought in 3 or 4 tons or so of sod.
Yeah.
And on the seed planting, we count that in bushels.
Yeah.
Or maybe half a dozen bushels or something.
Yeah. The CCC people collected the seed for you, too.
Yeah. I was out there and did my part of it, and supervised, told them what to get.
Uh-huh.
And they did what I said.
Uh-huh. Were you involved in the restoration work in Winger and Galistel Woods in the oak forest where they planted maples?
Yeah.
You were?
We helped on the maple and the apples that were available at that time.
Now, what area are you talking about exactly? Can you describe that to me?
Actually, I need a TV set here so I can play the areas on the map of the screen.
Right.
And I don't know just what your designation is about. For example, the Galistel, I remember hearing about it, but I can't tell you this exactly where.
Well, there's an oak forest right on the south shore of Lake Wingra.
South shore of Lake Wingra?
Yeah. And that's the woods I'm talking about. They've done a lot of underplanting with maples in there.
No, there wasn't anything done right on the shore.
Well, it's not right on the shore. It's back a ways. It's on the hill overlooking the lake from the south.
Oh, that was way up the west end, wasn't it?
I think they call it Camp Woods.
Oh, the Camp Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's around just to the northwest of the camp. It was already there, of course.
The woods was there, yes.
Yeah.
To the northeast, it would be.
To the northeast, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But since during arboretum development, they've done a lot of underplanting with maples and basswoods and things.
In that same area?
Yeah.
No, that's all done after I left.
Okay, I thought it might have been.
Yeah.
Well, are there any other areas? And you were involved in the pine planting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The pine and the hardwood along the valley.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to
Where were you getting trees for those plantings?
I think it was quite a number of them were came from the nursery or something. They hadn't been able to sell during the war, and they were getting kind of old, so they went in there, and I think the nursery just gave them some.
You mean the First World War?
No, World War II.
Well, this was before
that. This was before that. No, wait a minute. Oh, it was, I guess it was held up by the First War.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah.
And they had some sort of
over them,
sort of soft
and
wanted to miss
it.
I don't know
what it was. Is there anything else about your time here?
Yes, I had quite an interest in birds. You have a record of Bill Feeney, the wildlife ecologist?
No, I don't know.
You don't have his name down there?
Well, I don't know.
Bill Feeney was in charge of the wildlife aspect, and he was especially interested in deer. That's also in prison, Bob White. And I was quite interested, and I worked with Feeney to some extent on that. He was not at the Arboretum, but he was there at the university, and he was working under small bird banding, and he introduced me to trapping and banding of birds. So I helped him on that, and next year I was still full of tire, and I banded about 3,000 birds.
Here in the Arboretum?
On the Arboretum. The small bird. It was about right on down. Oh, yes, I also helped Feeney on the pheasant banding. Just banding that number.
Anything that I'd be interested in your relationship with the crew or the
crew on the bird bending, especially the pheasant work, is only about four or five boys.
I see.
And supervised that. And I helped out on supervising looking after the cabin. And we ultimately had to go out twice a day on that. And Feeney had to take charge of all of them.
Did you live here at the camp?
Yeah, I did.
For all that time?
Yes, sir.
What was it like living here?
Oh, you didn't understand?
No, but, well, not really. It was like that, huh?
Just not a first passage of a small army position.
Yeah. You weren't married?
Yeah.
You were married?
Down in Illinois. I was up there.
So your wife lived here at the camp with you?
Nope. She lived down to here. And whenever I could get them to leave, I'd go down there, and then she had the teaching and she'd come up. In fact, she was there at the room where I didn't come to even college.
Is that right?
Yeah. And we had a cottage around on Lake Monona.
Oh. So you'd live at the cottage during the summer? Right. Do you mind?
I call it two or three times, not all five.
Do you mind telling me what your salary was at that time?
Oh, I didn't mind telling you.
Yeah.
I can remember that I started in, I already had my school for 3 years. You know, so I started in 72, 50 a month, I think.
Yeah.
And that was, at the forest that was down in Illinois.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to Madison, I was somewhat above that. I still down $104 a month.
A month? Yeah.
Of course, in that case, they can't justify the housing.
Yeah. Yeah. That would help.
That helps.
What about some of the people? What can you tell me about Leopold, for example? What kind of a guy was he?
Well, he never seemed to go over there to the prison.
Yeah?
And the literature on Leopold was all highly complicated. And I was fairly close to all that. Very nice to get along with.
And
then when he had
material ready to be published. We've had some of them help out, and then again, so I have searched that publication with the
thing. I see. Yeah. Is he an easy guy to get along with?
Very easy. Very helpful.
Yeah.
His business, I wouldn't just talk down super easy.
I see. Yeah.
Kept business. Now you took care of your part, and he's very nice to you. He was a hard worker himself. Just in some of his best.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you give me your address?
In the president?
Yeah.
1415 South College.
South College?
Mm-hmm.
And it's Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, without the note.
Kansas.
Okay.
And the zip?
66762.
Okay.
How did you happen to get me?
When you were born?
20th of February, 1907.
1907.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're going to want, I will prepare the Toronto. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't claim any Canadian citizenship, although I could legally claim it.
Yes.
My parents are both United States citizens.
Okay.
And that was booked at that time. I came back to the States when I was about 2 years old.
Uh-huh.
For all practical purposes,
okay. Do you have any photographs from where his name came in, and he'd been on the CCC crew, and I talked to him for a while. I taped his remarks, and he remembered you. He said they used to call you the Little Owl.
They did call me that.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is the kind of thing that's gotten me thinking we should try to have some kind of a reunion, you know.
Yeah. I'd be interested in getting in on that.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll be in touch with you right
away. In 1978.
Yes.
Just stopped by on the way to Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't actually visit with anybody at the Arboretum himself. I drove through the Arboretum across town. But somebody told me afterwards that there's a memorial plaque with my name out there.
Boy, I wasn't aware of that.
I saw the first memorial stone out there on the prairie.
Yeah.
And they said there's one there in the headquarters someplace with my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard about that, and I haven't seen it.
Well, let me check that out, too.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if there was a note on it.
I'll definitely check that. I ought to know about it.
I would assume that probably be part of it. Just me, of course, you have that book about 1,000 Neighbors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And my name is in that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, let me...
This is the... Arboretum is a place where I do want to make a return visit. And I plan to get up there for the first 3 weeks I have for being up there.
Well, maybe you could come to this reunion, then.
Having been retired here now for 4 or 5 years, I'm sort of certainly tempted to see it again around for the invitation to see.
Maybe you could come to the reunion.
I very likely could.
Well, let me, I'll let you know as our plans materialize.
Yes, yeah. Okay.
Good. Well, I certainly appreciate you talking to me.
It's been a pleasure for me to be able to contribute something to this.
You've already contributed a lot. You'll hear from me in the next week or so.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
By the way,
I'm
on other detail. When I got to Pittsburgh here, I came as a biology and worked up to the test. So I retired as a member of the biology department. Now Pittsburgh State University.
Yes.
At that time, it was kind of a teaching college.
Oh, I see.
It's now Pittsburgh State University.
Did you go, where did you go when you went into the Army out of here? Yeah. And then from the Army you went to Kansas?
I went to Rutgers to Pittsburgh.
I see.
Although I'm retired, actually I asked to be retained as Spirit of the Rebellion. And I still have a medal here at the University.
I see.
And I spend my morning at the Rebellion. And then with my own lot in the afternoon. I have one little story right here on my lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you restart yourself?
Yeah.
Hey, just a moment, please. Get it? We'll catch her again.
You're too long with her.
She's our ecologist here.
Oh, yes.
Well, maybe she might call you back and talk to you a little bit.
Okay.
But I'll be in touch with you in the next week.
Okay.
Through the mail.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
Well, it's been a great pleasure.
Bye.
Goodbye.